I'm going to pick back up where we were a couple weeks ago on the resurgence of the crowd. Go to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to review for just a little bit. Today, we're going to go into the phase 2 of the crowd. We spoke about phase 1 several weeks ago. We're going to share what God has designed for us in these last days. So let's go to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the seven spirits of God that is with us this day. The Spirit of the Lord to rest upon us. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We give you all the glory, praise and honor. Amen, amen. There is something that they brought up to the Lord. Acts chapter 1, to give you context, he's standing in front of them in a resurrected state. He's about to go up into the heavens. He was already resurrected, and they ask him a question. All this is taking place. He's already been raised from the dead. So he's speaking to them from this position. He says something very remarkable to them. It's going to give you a lot of understanding of what's going to be happening in our generation. If you go to verse 6 in Acts chapter 1, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now you have to understand, we brought this out the first time around. They were always looking for him to restore to them into a place of prominence like Solomon did. That's the way they saw him. He's our king. He's going to bring us back into prominence as a nation. He's going to bring us out from under Roman occupation. We're going to become the man again in the earth. You know, that's what they wanted. That's what they were looking for. That's the way they perceived their Messiah to come. He didn't come originally the way they wanted him, but he came with power. But he didn't come the way they wanted him. So when he's raised from the dead, they're saying, okay, now is the time. Now, you're raised from the dead. You qualify more than anybody. So you're going to restore us now back to our former estate, like the days of Solomon, to where we are the ruling nation of nations, prominence in wealth, prominence in worship, prominence in global affairs, prominence in finances, everything. They weren't in that. They were been reduced to a town with Roman occupation. They were definitely Israel, but they weren't in their former glory. So that's what they were looking for. And now his response to them was very unique because he didn't tell them that's not going to happen. He didn't tell them, oh, that's passed away. What he said to them was very unique. He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. He wasn't denying that that wasn't going to happen. What he was telling them is that you're not that generation. You're not the generation that's going to see that. He was actually not restoring the house of David in the earth. He was taking the house of David into the heavens. He was about to reassign the entire throne, the crown, the house, because the Bible says he would sit upon the throne of David. The Bible's very clear that he would, but he never did in his earthly ministry. So once he was raised from dead, said, well, now you're going to sit on the throne. But in reality, in that generation, he wasn't restoring the house of the David. He was reassigning it. And if you go to Acts chapter 2, Peter actually says this in one of the first messages preached to the early church. And you can see this happening, Acts chapter 2. Verse 29 says, men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne. They knew a king was coming that was going to rule from the throne of David forever because he said it to David. He said it to Solomon. They were looking for it to happen, but they were looking for the wrong thing. They didn't realize God had another design. It wasn't that he wasn't going to fulfill that part. He had another design. Verse 30, therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, the fruit of his loins, cord of the flesh, God would raise up Christ and sit on his throne. Verse 31, he, seeing this before, seeing what? that Christ would sit upon his throne. He's seeing before that Christ would sit upon his throne. He's seen this before. What? Spake of the resurrection of Christ. Right there, he confirmed. Now, this is very important to understand the generation we live in. It was very important. He confirmed right there that Christ was going to sit on his throne in the resurrection, in the heavenlies, which means Daniel 7, when Daniel saw the Son of Man in a vision, ascend before the Ancient of Days, he said, one like the Son of Man ascended in the Ancient Days, there was given him a glory, a kingdom, a dominion, and a power. It was reassigned. Psalms 2, I'll set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, this is my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask now of the nations. Ask for the uttermost part. You know what was happening there? Christ ascended into the heavens, God reassigning the earth, all of its resources, all of its dominion that Adam lost, reassigned to Christ at the right hand of God. What else was reassigned to Christ was the throne of David. He, speaking of the throne of David upon his resurrection. So we have very clear confirmation. They're asking him, will you restore Israel? He says, what he's really saying, it's not for your generation. I'm about to take all of what you just asked for up into the heavens. In fact, it was about AD 67, I believe, where God allowed Jerusalem to be completely taken. It all was upended, but it wasn't stolen. God had reassigned. Now, this is important. He reassigned the throne, the kingdom, the house, all of it. Where is it at? At the right hand of God. He's the appointed heir of all things. He sits on the throne of David right now in the heavens. This is our generation. There is a generation that will see the return. There is a generation that will see all of this return, but that wasn't that generation. They were a generation that was going to lay a foundation. They're a generation that was going to lay the foundation of Christ in you, a new creation. See, they were capturing the plan of God here. God was going to create a new creation, pull everybody out from Adam, bring everybody into Christ, and then reassign it. Go to Haggai. Okay, so verse 6, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it's a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry lands. I'll shake all nations and the treasures. If you're reading King James, desire is the treasure of all nations will fill this house with glory. The silver's mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. Watch this. It's very important. Verse 9. You need to understand the terminology of house. House is different than church. So house, the glory of the latter day house. He is not talking about just a church, because he's talking about a kingly house. The glory of the latter day house will be greater than the former. What was the former he's speaking? Solomon's house. All the glory of Solomon's day, the conversion of nations. People don't realize what all happened in Solomon's day. I studied for 3 months, 90 days, 10 hours a day concerning Solomon's house. I converted all the wealth of that time. This is back in 95, so it's changed a little bit. But I converted all the wealth of that time into modern day wealth. You'd be amazed what flowed through that generation. It was so much of kings and queens. They would come to hear Solomon's wisdom and get converted on the spot. Because they didn't just hear his wisdom. They saw the glory. The glory was all over Jerusalem. It was visible. Solomon walk up into the midst of it and disappear in the glory. And now he's speaking of another house. Nothing ever rivaled Solomon's house. Even the rebuilding of the temple, the old men of old even saw it before its first estate, and they were weeping, saying, this looked like nothing like it was before. It didn't happen in that day, didn't happen in the Lord's day, because he was actually taking the house. He never sat on the throne of David in the earth. He will, but he didn't do it in his time. Not one single time, even though he was the heir, he did not sit on a throne of David in the earth. He does sit on it now, and he will sit on it again in the very near future. But say the glory of the Latter-day House, greater. That has to happen before his return. That has to happen, that glory, that house must restore. There must be a resurgence or a return of the crowning glory that was upon Israel. Now, God in his infinite wisdom has chosen to do that and usher that in first through the Gentile church. Before we leave, we have a glory. And we'll be leaving this planet. So there is a day coming. But before that day, God is going to reveal one of the greatest mysteries of all times, especially for our generation, which is the return of his crowning glory. His church is going to usher that in. It's going to be given back to Israel, but we're all going to be in it now because we're all Israel now. Christ made us all one. Amen. But he took it up in the heaven. He said, it's not for you to know, but there is a generation that will know. Say, you are that generation. We are the generation. And this is what we need to be looking for right now, because God has already doubly confirmed that. He didn't do it once for the 70 years. He did it twice. And if you hadn't heard our message on the 70 years, he has doubly confirmed that the 70 years have been fulfilled. The time is at hand for the return. Amen. Now, the way God's going to do it, so what we did in our first message is taught all the stuff that led up to that. What we're going to do today, we're going to talk about the scripture. We're going to talk about the return. What has God spoken about the return of the king? Now, we know Christ's going to sit. Now, Isaiah 9, we'll start with this. We're going to be in Old Testament and New Testament from here on out. Isaiah 9, verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son has been given. Now, listen, look at these words. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's an everlasting father to the inhabitants of Israel. This is talking about the heir. This is talking about Christ. This scripture is specifically talking about the Prince of Peace. Now look at verse 7. Because of the increase of his government and his peace, there is no end upon the throne of David. Upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment, justice forever. That's what they were looking for. They knew scriptures like this. They read scriptures like this. They were waiting for their Messiah to do this. So when he came, the reason why they rejected him, because he didn't look like that. But God had another plan. And God's plan's been fulfilled. And now the greatest harvest of any generation is upon us now. At the time of the end, where God's not going to just take us out of here in a weak place, there's something about to happen. What's going to happen is the return of the crown. He's bringing the house back in. He's bringing the glory back in. He legally took it out. He's legally being brought in. Now, some people say he can just drop it. God doesn't drop anything out of heaven without faith. God sent a word. God sent a word. We've been carrying that word. There might be other people carrying it. We've been carrying the word of the crown for 30-something years. This house has been carrying it for its entirety. Not really even knowing until these last 15 years really what it was about. Now, these mysteries are completing. Today, I want to look specifically at what he said about the return of this crown. The return of this house. The return of the house, the glory of the latter day house, that is a kingly house. That can't just be a church doing that. It has to be a restorative kingly house. In other words, the throne that was legally brought up into heaven must legally be brought back down. the house, the crown. Now, God did something so spectacular because he took something that was natural with man and he converted it into the spiritual realm. The house, the throne. That's why he says you're blessed with all the spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. That's really good, but we need them here. God's made a way to get that here. But in our day, he's bringing it all down. I remember one day I was in prayer and he spoke to me. He goes, I will not return till all that is in my right hand is emptied into the earth. He said, my church has access very little of what I inherited. And I really didn't understand what he was saying to me that day. Now I do. He meant, he goes, the crown must return. The glory of the house must return. Okay, go to Revelation chapter 3. Now, we're going to look. Because God's trying to summarize this thing we call the crown. Amen? So today we're going to summarize what God has spoken about our generation. Now I'm going to show you scripturally what he says about the return of the crown. What does that look like? I mean, is it a physical object like this? Well, right now it's not. Because he took it up into the heavens. It's spiritual. It's spiritually discerned, but it's described specifically by the word. And when he says crown, he means the glory. Now, I want to share a scripture with you concerning something he's already done. The Bible says in Ephesians, says you were raised together, made to sit together. Do you know what he means by sit together? You're sitting in his throne. What throne are you sitting in? Throne of David. Already there. You've already been raised. You're already legally sit there. You've been raised together, made to sit together with him. This is what God does in the face of God. He'll throw scriptures out like that. You're complete in him. Well, if I look at my life in the natural, I'm not complete. But you are complete. Say, I am complete. How about this one? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That once you obtained that one by faith, here's another one. You're forever perfected. How about that one? Look at us. We're forever perfected. Do we look like a forever perfected bunch or what? Well, obviously God's speaking about another realm. But it's still ours. Revelation 3, verse 7. And the angel, now God was not writing to angels. These are messengers. It's the same word for John. Anglios. He was a messenger. There was messengers given to churches. They were the ones that sat in the right hand. There were seven stars in his right hand. And there were messengers. They were given light out of the right hand of God concerning a church age. There's a church age coming here like no other time. It's going to be very fast. It's going to be very quick. We saw even with the resurgence. And why they would stop that, I have no idea. But that's on them of the Asbury. I mean, look what happened. It poured out. The whole nation heard about it within 3 or 4 days. They're going to move so extraordinary fast, especially when this event takes place. There are some major events that are on the horizon that have been confirmed doubly. There's nothing but the waiting. We're kind of an upper room bunch right now. Waiting. On the promise. The messenger of the church of Philadelphia. That church is about to get birthed out into the earth. That church doesn't get birthed until something happens. It's here, but there's going to be a baptism. There's going to be a glorious baptism. These things saith he that is true. He that has what? The key, it's not just of David, it's key of the house of David because it spoke to him in Isaiah 22, says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He has the key of the house. He has the house. He's got the key to the house. He's going to open the house. See, he is speaking to our generation what he wouldn't speak to them. He says, it's not for you to know. This is not for your generation. This is not what you're going to do for me. You're going to do something extraordinary. You're going to birth me into the earth. But there's another generation. I'm going to take this house up into the heavens and I'm going to bring it back. In the last days, I'm going to open this house, and I'm going to bring it back into the earth. I have the key. I have the house. I sit on the throne. God's given me the authority. Christ saying this, and I have the key, and I'm going to set before you an open door. Where it was all shut up in the heavens, it's about to get all opened wide. Say, spring wide, you heavenly gates. He openeth, no man's going to shut this one. There is no power, I don't care how much they boast or who they are. That Babylonian harlot is about to get a revelation of who's really in charge. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. You've had little strength, you've kept my word. This is he that has ears here. What's he talking about here? Restoration of a house. House of royalty. House of David. If you put that with Haggai, which he's definitely going to do, there's going to be a wealth transference that's coming out of that house. A great one. Okay? That's in the horizon right now. Now, look at verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I'm going to make them come and worship at thy feet and to know that I love thee. Now, understand, there's nobody going to come worship at your feet. Has anybody come worship at your feet lately? That's not what he's speaking. He's talking about a system controlled by wicked people, by Jewish elite people in name only. They say they're Jews, but they're not. They serve another synagogue. They serve another house. They serve another master. But their system, being controlled, international banking cartel, you name it. Corporations, especially central banking cartels that control everything. You'll never hear their name mentioned in the news. They're the ones pulling the strings. The ones that you see are the ones they want you to see. The ones you don't see, like the Federal Reserve System. Everyone think that's a government institution. That is not a government. That is a privately held institution that prints money, that loans it to our governments. Central banks and governments have been in business a long time. They like the relationship. But says, I'm going to make that system bow down. That system in full-blown authority right now. That system is perpetrating the darkness and the agendas that you're seeing on an international scale. That system perpetrated the last agenda you saw that ran through the earth. All those agendas were done by men in high places that you don't ever hear their name. You only hear the ones that are spokespersons. Behind the scene, there is a controlling system. He goes, I am going to make that system bow down. Now, who's he speaking to? A church. He goes, that system's going to bow to a church, but something's going to happen to you before that happens. Something's going to be given to you before that happens. Because right now you're still a church, but you're about to be crowned, baby. Now let's look at the timing of this church. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation coming upon the entire world. He does not say that to the seventh church. He tells them, I'm going to counsel you. You're my church, but you're going to be tried by fire. But this church is going to be saved from the tribulation hour. God specifically says, you're not going there. I'm going to keep you from it. You're the ones going to be taken out. But not before you do what I'm going to do. That system is going to bow before your feet. Now, he says something remarkable, and you don't want to miss this. All right, verse 11, big time verse here. Behold, I come quickly. Is he talking about an end time church? Yes, he is. Hold thou fast what you have. Let no man
take your what? There is no church in all seven that was even remotely given a crown in the earth. Smyrna was given a crown. If you're faithful to death, I'll give you a crown in the afterlife. This one was given a crown by the King of Glory himself. He opened the house of David and he gave a house, a church, his crown. In other words, he crowned a church into the earth. If you want to know what that looks like, Zechariah 6 saw this. Go over to Zechariah 6. So he takes a priesthood and he says, let no man take your crown. In other words, somewhere along the lines, that church got crowned. They were given a crown. They were given the house of David. He had brought it down to them in the earth and he crowned them. And something, some type of baptism took place where they went from priesthood to kings. From church to ruling class of kings, so much so that whatever God released, he calls that entire Babylonian system to bow down. It was made that Babylonian system bow down. For a season, that system was called the bow. That is about to happen. This is who we are. Well, I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't have an education. Listen. Solomon did not know how to come in or go out before God did what he did with him. Imagine if there's a glory greater than Solomon's, a wisdom that's greater, a dominion that's greater. What's going to happen when that gets on you? Because his crown's coming back in. It's David and Solomon's crown perfected seven times over. It's coming back into the earth. Now here is a picture of this in Zechariah 6 of what happened at that day. Zechariah 6, verse 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take them of the captivity. Now, this is a generation that came out from Babylon under Cyrus. He releases them. They come out to rebuild the temple. They were captivity, and he's bringing them out. They're a priesthood being brought out. But God was going to do something really remarkable with them. Take them of the captivity, even Heldiah, Tobijah, Jediah, which are come out from Babylon and came down the same day, go into the house of Josiah. Verse 11, take silver and gold. Take silver, take gold. Silver's mine, the gold is mine. Take gold. From where? Where are they taking them? Where'd they come from? Babylon. Anybody paying attention? Great wealth transfer is going to start out of Babylon. Not just spiritual Babylon, Iraq. Take silver and gold out of Babylon, make crowns. Put it on the head of Joshua. Who's Joshua? This is not the Joshua with Moses. This is Joshua with Zerubbabel. This was Joshua the high priest. He was the high priest during the time of the returning exile. Priests don't sit on king's thrones, but this one did. They took the wealth of Babylon. And they sat him down on Zerubbabel's throne and they crowned him. They crowned a priest. He says, now the council of harmony will be between the two offices. The priest has been crowned king. Our high priest, Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. When you hear us say king, priest, government, this is what we're talking about. It's a priesthood that will go in one way and come out another way. It's a priesthood that will go in. But God has a design in these last days. He took a church or a priesthood called the Church of Philadelphia and he brought a crown down and he sat him on a throne and he crowned him just like he did Solomon. I mean, you're going to have to grasp this around your head that you belong to an order and God has a church that's going to be crowned globally. It's going to come, in my opinion, like a baptism, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit came. Somebody asked me, he said, well, didn't he give us all this in the beginning? I couldn't answer it. I can answer that now. He said it wasn't for that early church. If he did give it to them, he would have gave it to them. But he was taking it out of the earth, not bringing it into the earth. He was bringing himself in the earth. He was bringing the glory of the Father into the earth. But he was taking the crown out. It wasn't for their time. It's for our time. Why? Because another king is going to rise up in this earth somewhere. Probably alive today. And he's going to declare himself the king of this world system. And he's going to control and rule the nations. before his day, the Antichrist's day, God is going to take a priesthood, a church, and he's going to put them on a king's throne. He's going to crown them on some kind of baptism. He's going to bring the house of David back down with wisdom that's far beyond anything you and I have ever operated in. And glory and dominion. And we're going to testify and demonstrate the glory of our king before we're lifted out of here. Because it's God's greatest gift to this generation. Because he desires nobody to live through what's coming. Listen, the people who are going to live through the 7-year tribulation, you're already seeing what's going on with people. They're trying to change the image now. It seems like heaven's silent right now, but heaven's going to come in with a ferocious roar. The Lion of Judah is going to stand up. And when he starts roaring, he's going to release his roar through us, through the women, the lionesses. There's going to be a great roar in the earth. We need this kind of glory. This one, God wasn't interested in Rome at the time. God was interested in new creations, new creations, new creations. Now he's very, and when he comes in, he's going to unseat the political. He's going to unseat the financial. He's going to unseat those that are head over the seven mountains. He's going to unseat that whole thing and demonstrate just who he is through a church before we're lifted out of here. Then he's going to judge the nations. Then he's going to return and rule from the same, very same crown that's coming in. He's going to rule with that 1,000 years. And you and I are going to rule with him. You see how prophetically he says these men. In Zechariah 4 that he did this with, these are the men, the same women in Zechariah 4. You're a wonder. You're symbolic of things to come, he said. This is all symbolic of something that's going to take place in another day. I'm going to take a king, a priest, and I'm going to make him a king. And then I'm going to take a priesthood and crown them. And he said it in Revelation chapter 3. A crown was given. Now, let's look at actually how it happened. Go to Revelation 5. Now, this is where you really want to pay attention. There is imagery in this chapter. Zechariah 4 talk about the golden lampstand. We know it's the last day chapter because he mentions it in Revelation chapter 11 as the two olive trees being the two witnesses. Amen? He says, so that golden lampstand was the very same lampstand burning before the throne in Revelation chapter 4. When John was lifted up into the heavens, he saw a lamp burning before the throne. Verse 5. Boy, when the Lord showed me this one day, if you really, really want to understand what's happening in the heavens and what's about to happen in the earth, the 70 years was confirmed. It's done. Trump was one. The queen was the other. Both 70 years have been fulfilled for our generation. The time is at hand. These things are going to happen. Verse 5. Revelation 4. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are what? The seven spirits. These are the same seven lamps mentioned in Zechariah 4, but they were burning before the throne. Seven spirits of God. Now, who is the seven spirits of God? Can somebody tell me? And how do we know that? Because in Revelation chapter 1, greetings. From him who was, who is, and is to come. From the seven spirits of God and from the Lord Jesus. All three of them are greeting you. They're all greeting you there. The Holy Spirit is not mentioned as the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelations. He is mentioned as the seven spirits of God or the Spirit. He's not mentioned as Holy Spirit. But he's still Holy Spirit. He was wisdom for Solomon. So, seven spirits of God. Burning before the throne. The seven spirits of God is the one that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 5 too. But he was not in the form of the lamp. He was in a different form in Revelation 5. He was in the form of the seven spirits as a lamp burning before the throne. You know what he's doing? He's receiving the mandate of the last days. He was burning before the Father and the Father was downloading the entire end time mandate all the way through the 1,000-year millennial reign because he was the one in charge to administrate that whole thing out.
Just like the Holy Spirit was given charge of the church, the seven spirits of God will be in charge of the house of David when he comes out from the throne. Is that something? Or awesome. He's burning before the throne. He's getting the mandate. Now time, Revelation chapter 5 comes. He's going to be sent out now. So who was it? The lamp burning before the throne. This is the seven spirits of God. He was burning before the throne. He was receiving the mandate for the finality. It was a new dispensation. He's bringing the house back in. So the whole mandate's being given to him. And I'm sitting there seeing, I'm like, oh my God, he's got the mandate. That seven spirits of God is the crowning stone of Zechariah 4, by the way. That's the final crown, the stone of inheritance, the glory of the church coming out, the crowning glory. Okay, now, so he's burning before the throne. Now the scene changes. Let's go to Revelation 5 and I'll close with this. Revelation's 5. We're talking about the crown. The crown's returning. The glory of the house is returning. The throne, the house of David, the seven spirits of God burning. Now watch what happens here. This is huge. This throne has to return. It has to. It's a non-negotiable. The glory of the house must return into the earth. Revelation's 5. For one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Because there was no man worthy to open the book. They're watching the throne. We're just going to pick it up here. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he's prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. So you see what? Two aspects of who he is. The lion and the lamb. The priest and the king. Why the lamb? Because he is the priest that's sitting upon the king's throne. He is the original high priest. Just like Melchizedek, he's the priest that's been enthroned by the Father. And he's also been crowned. And he said, now the lion of Judah has prevailed, but the lamb stood up. Say, the lamb stood up, because it was the lamb. The lamb is the priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus. The lion is the kingly ministry of the Lord. So he is there and he stands up. The lion stands up because it's the lamb stands up because it's the priest that has to be crowned. And he's about to be crowned, but he's going to release it to you. This is an end time event that has not happened yet. And when it does, there are going to be explosions like you've never seen out of heaven. Glory, power, because God will confirm the book has been opened, the time's at hand. This is that spoken by the prophet Zechariah, Haggai, John. It's all being fulfilled before our eyes. It's the greatest event of our generation, and it can happen at any moment in time. Behold, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. First of all, it says, what is it? He said, what are the seven horns, seven eyes? Which are what? The seven spirits of God. Before he was in the form of a lamb. Now he's in the form of seven horns and seven eyes. He changed. But he's still the Holy Spirit. But he changed. He was a lamp burning before the throne, receiving the mandate. Now he's been fashioned into a crown. Do you know what you're looking at there? Seven horns. What does a horn mean specifically in the book of Revelation? A king or a kingdom? In the book of Revelation, a horn is a king or a kingdom. Seven of them. Perfect. What's eyes mean? Eyes mean wisdom, the ability to see. What does seven eyes mean? Or you've heard me say it, omnipresent, omniscience, the ability to see in multiple dimensions. Spirit, natural, time, beyond time, geographical, up, down, sideways, all around. Like eyes in your back of your head kind of thing. The Lord said, I walk in the light of the day. There's no stumbling in me. I see everything. He knew exactly what was happening all the time. He could finish most of their sentences for them. When they come and talk to him, he was finished because he could see. This capacity, his capacity to see is going to be given to us. He already rests on him. So when you see seven eyes, it's
Solomon's anointing on steroids. Solomon's wisdom on steroids. Solomon's dominion on steroids. So the seven horns, so seven eyes, seven horns means dominion. Kingly dominion perfected. So it's perfection of dominion, perfection of wisdom, resting upon the Lamb. He's been crowned. Now the elders get involved here. Said, this is the seven spirits of God. He became the crown in glory. And he is going to get released into the earth upon you and upon me. So in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, had been slain, seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. What? What were they doing in chapter 4? Burning before the throne in the form of a lamb. In chapter 5, form of a crown with dominion and wisdom. Set forth where? Into where? For what purpose? To crown his church. The seven spirits of God is going to release on the end time church of Philadelphia. And God's going to baptize a church globally. What that's going to look like, that'd be like asking somebody in the upper room what the Holy Spirit's going to look like when he pours out. Nobody's going to know the fullness of it. But we have an idea with the run of the white horse what that's going to look like. But we see the seven spirits of God sent forth on all the earth. He's been released. Say, he's been released. And when he comes out, he's coming out with a baptism. He's coming out with a mandate. He's coming out with the end time mandate that's going to go beyond you and I. He'll still be here when we're lifted out. He'll be here to judge the nations. But he'll be with us in grace. We are the final extension to grace to this world. When we're out, he will turn to judgment. He will judge the nations with fierce, and then he'll return and rest upon the King of glory, and everyone will see it with a natural eye. Out of Jerusalem, he'll reign 1,000 years. He will make himself visible again for all to see. Isn't that awesome? There are three things going to happen. The church, the 7-year tribulation, the 1,000-year millennial reign. All of that's been given the mandate. The seven spirits of God has the authority to administrate all of it. Then came. He took the book. Verse 7. Out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. And when he taken the book, the four beasts, the 20 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of incense of the prayers of the saints that knew what was going on. And we taken the book, and they sung a new song. Worthy to take the book, open the seals. He's going to begin the final days with the opening of this book. The first thing's going to come out is the white horse. Thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, tongue, and people. Watch this. Verse 10. And made us what? And made us what? Made us unto our God kings and priests. And we will reign in the earth. Now compare that when you go home. This is your Bible study to Revelation 13. The Antichrist, the people of God. He has power over them in the tribulation age. The Antichrist has power over those that get saved in the tribulation era. They're not in a state of dominion. He has authority over them to kill at will. But in our day, the kings and priests are reigning. The church is reigning as kings in the earth. In chapter 13, they're given under the power of the Antichrist. There's something that changes there. There is a rule and a reign happens. The seven spirits of God will pour out. What is he? He's the crowning glory of the house of David, the perfection of all things. There is a baptism coming to each one. This is the best way I can say it to you. We are all going to be baptized again. You've been baptized in water. You've been baptized in the name of Jesus. You've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now you about to get baptized in fire. Now you've been baptized in the house of David. And when you do, you're going to go in as Jacob. You're going to come out as Israel. Every one of us are going to come out as Israel. There's a whole generation. I got to say one more scripture. Go to Psalm 24 and I'm going to close this up. Because there is a whole generation that's going to pass through the Jacob encounter with God. Okay, I'm going to give you four verses. Verse 3. Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, not lifted his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Watch this. He will receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. How many of you caught the catch 22 there? Okay, you ascend the hill of the Lord with clean hands, pure heart, so you can obtain clean hands and a pure heart. Because it said he'll receive the righteousness. So I have to have clean hands and a pure heart to get clean hands and a pure heart. Did y'all see that? So who will ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that clean hands, pure heart, he'll receive righteousness. I'm like, well, I got to have righteousness to ascend. I have to have righteousness to receive righteousness. You see it? Because the clean hands and a pure heart cannot be obtained by any one of us in this room. Christ is the only one that obtained it. We identify in his righteousness alone. We enter through him, surrendering ours, makes the great exchange in the right hand of God. Then we go up and then we receive the blessing for our generation. What is the blessing of our generation? The crown and the righteousness are the glory that's going to accompany it. We're going to see it. Now, what's the final verse I'm going to give you today? Verse 6. This is the generation. He's not talking about an individual. This is the generation that's going to ascend the hill of the Lord. There is a generation that's going up into the right hand of God. There is a generation to obtain the blessing that's going to receive the crown. That seek him, that seek the face and the way it really says of the God of Jacob. You know what he's saying? This is the generation that's going to go before the face of God in the same way Jacob went before the face of God. They're going to go in one way. They're coming out another way. You're going in as Jacob. You're going in there with all your issues. They need a whole lot of tissues. You're going in one way. And God's going to speak from his face. Because he's going to speak from a perfected place. And when he speaks to you from the face, you're coming out as royalty. I am no longer Jacob, I am Israel. Thy name has no more Jacob. Thy name has been Israel. A prince, you have reigned with me. A whole generation is going to go through that. It's called the baptism of the seven spirits of God. He's going to take a priesthood with all the issues. He's going to baptize us into perfected royalty. With perfected wisdom, perfected dominion, women, wake it up. You're going to start operating in dominion like you never operated in it before. And it's not going to be one or two or ten. It's going to be a global church. The seven spirits of God is going to arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory will be seen upon you. An international church will be born in a single day. A global church baptized into the house of royalty. Worthy is the Lamb to have received dunamis, generational wealth, omnipresent omniscience, honor, glory, and all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. He received it on your and I's behalf, and it's all returning with a crown. We are the generation. We are a house. I'm not going to say the house. I'm going to say we are a house. We are a house to receive the crowning glory of the church. One of the first to receive the baptism of the house of David. You don't know this. If you don't know it by now, you have been born into royalty. You have a predestination to royalty. Little royalty, kingdom royalty that's going to manifest out in an unprecedented manner. Let's give God glory.